The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Listen to Matt Slick and listen to Matt Slick Live, and I'm your host, Matt Slick. All right. We have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we have nobody waiting right now. Hope you had a good time at church, and hope you had a good day and all of that, you know, because I'm starting to miss church. I don't get to go that often because of my wife's health, but I'm starting to miss it. Need to be able to go and, you know, fellowship with other believers. And I do a lot online. That's good. Which reminds me, I plan tonight to be online and teach on the Doctrine of the Trinity on Clubhouse, because Clubhouse is it's a chat system where you're able to get in and, well, just talk about all kinds of stuff. And there's a lot of unbelievers there. So, you know, I like to get in and teach on things so that people can understand what the truth is. So there you go. And I'll put the calendar information up for that later. I want to teach on the Doctrine of the Trinity. You can go to carm.org/calendar for that information on what I'll do and how I'll do and all that kind of stuff later. Not a big deal. All right. The Trinity, incidentally, is a true doctrine. I know a lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people don't believe in it. You should, because that's what the Bible teaches. And I want people to believe in the truth and the truth of who God is and what he's revealed in his scriptures. All right. See? Easy peasy. All right. Why don't we just jump on the phones? We'll give the number out again really quickly. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rudolph from Raleigh, North Carolina. Rudolph, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Who are the two witnesses in Revelation?
Some people think it's Moses and Elijah, and some think it's Enoch and Elijah. I don't know who it is, but the two witnesses are there. Some think it might be Enoch and Elijah because both were caught up and didn't die, so they think that they might be the ones who come back and die. But that may or may not be the case. Then there's the issue of the law and the prophet representation, so Moses and Elijah kind of a thing. So that's what some people think. But I can't tell you for sure who it is because the Bible doesn't tell us. Okay.
Okay, so the reason why I'm asking is because yesterday I was listening to one of those three trip guys, and I know you said that that's not an essential thing.
Right, not essential doctrine, right.
Right, but the thing about it is when they start with those, what's happening, in my opinion, is that these pre-drivers are pushing that doctrine so much, and we need Christians to step up and do things like you said. When they get to the point where, well, I don't have to do anything because we're going to be snatched out of here and everything will be okay and all that, you know, I think that's what's happening. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that when they started to believe that, they started to get laxadicious in the way they think.
Well, you know, there are a lot of good Christians who affirm the doctrine of pre-tribulation rapture. They love the Lord, and I hope that they're right. I don't think they are. Maybe someone could call up and say, hey, here's some verses for pre-trib, and then we can look at them in context and see if they work. But, yeah, I'd be willing to do that. I think it'd be interesting. But, yeah, I think there's an escapist mentality, and I don't like that mentality in Christianity. I like the warrior mentality, the pick-up-your-cross-daily-and-fight-for-Christ mentality, where you go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, and you support missionaries, whether on the internet or out there in the real world. You support people, you send them out, that things like that. That's what I think the Christian church should be doing more and more and more. So,
yes, sir. And
yeah, go ahead.
I was saying, well, I mean, there are Christians right now being persecuted and killed all day long, and they're not being raptured out. So why is it that us American Christians don't have to go through anything?
Yeah, that's correct. That's a mentality, the escapist mentality. And I think it's faulty. And I think we should be very busy in politics. We should be in film. We should be in the news media. I believe that Christian churches should put the money together, if they can, not all can, but if they can, and support missionaries, even send someone to seminary. It's one of the things we're doing right now, as a matter of fact, in CARM, is we're supporting a guy in Turkey who is going through seminary, and he's, you know, not producing anything for us. And that's okay. We're supporting him as a missionary. And he speaks Russian and Turkish and English. And if he works with CARM, which is what we hope he will do afterwards, then praise God. I recently told him, I said, look, if God calls him to some other location outside of CARM, that's okay. I'm not going to be upset about that. We are here to further the kingdom of God. And we have this opportunity to be able to support him. And so we are. And I think that, you know, that's just an example of something that we need to do as Christians. Support seminary students. Support missionaries. Support internet missionaries like myself and others. To do those things that a lot of people just can't do. That's what we should be doing. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I have to call you back tomorrow again. So I feel like I got another question. Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Thanks. God bless, Rudolph.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, you know, we have five open lines. Nobody's waiting right now if you want to give me a call. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I like the idea of supporting varying missionaries and doing what we can for the kingdom of God. Because Jesus did say something very important, and he said it in the ending of Matthew. I'm going to go through it a little bit and just kind of read it. And if you want to give me a call, please do. 877-207-2276. In fact, I want to put a couple things together here and show you something from Scripture. It says in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. So these are the last three verses in the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now that's an interesting statement. All authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. So that means he has all authority in heaven and earth to do, to bind, to loose, to forgive, to send. That's what he's saying. Look, it's given to me. And he says, go, therefore. Now notice what he says. Therefore, based on what he had just said, all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. Therefore, he says, go make disciples of all the nations. Now, notice what Jesus says as a foundation for why we should be making disciples. Because all authority has been given to him. So that's an interesting statement. All authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we know about that. We know that the baptism formula is in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, make disciples of all the nations. And the word there is ethne. We get it from the Greek ethnos, you know, ethnic, a people group. Belonging together. It could be a race of mankind. So nations is a great word. So make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So the call to us as Christians is to teach people, make disciples of them, to teach them everything that Jesus commanded. And he says, now here's something really interesting. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, in the middle of, you know, verse 19, baptizing them, make disciples, baptize them, name the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before it, he says, all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. And then after it, he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Both of those are claims of his supreme position, supreme authority, and the latter is a designation of his deity. The first, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, what if he's God, why do you need to have that authority given to him? Because he was made under the law, and he was in submission to the Father, and it was a designation and approval of who he is. And he says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. So he was saying this, I'll be with you. I'll be with you always. And when he was saying that, he's saying, I want you to understand, because the you there is plural in the Greek. I'm with all of you always, even to the end of the age. So he says, literally it's pasastas hemeras, which literally means all of the days. All the days. So let's even take a look at something. It's plural, yeah. And so he's saying, I am with you always, or to all of the days, is an expression that they have, even to the end of the age. How could he be with us always if he's not deity? And this is important, because a lot of people will deny that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. And I'll say, well, then how can he be with us always? How can he live in us? Which is what he says in John 14:23. And here in Matthew 28:20, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So anyway, the thing is, he has authority, and he will be with us always, even at the end of the age. And this is why he says, go do this. All authority has been given him in heaven and earth. Therefore, go make disciples. Now, having said that, I want to go over to Matthew 16:18. And I have to explain this a little bit, and we'll get to the callers. But he says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, I've got to get to the second part of the verse, but before I do that, I want to explain the first part. I say also to you that you are Peter. Now, that's the Greek word petros, O-S ending. And upon this rock, petra, it's an A ending. So you are Peter, but upon this rock, or you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, Peter is the masculine singular, and rock is the feminine singular. So you are Peter, and upon this rock. If he was talking about Peter, he wouldn't have called him by the feminine. Instead, the word petra is in reference to Christ, because if you go to 1 Corinthians 10:1-4, it talks about the people of Moses when they're going through the Red Sea, and the rock that followed them was Christ. And that word rock is petra here again. So I say to you that you are Peter, petros, and upon this rock petra, this rock petra, I will build my church. So anyway, a lot of times people think that's Peter that the church is built upon. That's not it. Anyway, this is what Jesus said. This is what I wanted to point out. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Gates don't do anything, folks. If we're going out to make disciples of all the nations, the gates of Hades won't be successful in resisting us. That's what's going on. See? We're already guaranteed ultimate victory if we do it in the name of Christ and the authority of Christ. If you want to give me a call, for open lines, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, let's get on the line with David from North Carolina. David, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Matt, how are you today?
Oh, by God's grace, doing okay. Hanging in there. So where do you got, man?
Good. Yes, sir. I just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts and viewpoint is on, I would say, Christians taking medication for different mental struggles or things that they struggle with. What is your viewpoint on that?
It's fine. Do it. No problem. Just do it under doctor supervision. They have wondrous drugs that are out there. A woman used to work with us. She's since passed on with the Lord. She was a clinical psych nurse, and we talked about this on more than one occasion. Retired clinical psych nurse. Mm-hmm. And she said that there are drugs that just do wonders for people. You know, if you have a headache, you take an aspirin, right? Like I have type 2 diabetes, right? So, which is really low, but I take a little something once a day. Okay. Well, what if you're born with a defect in the brain? What if you have a brain injury and you need something to help you with various things from the brain? Take it. So what? No big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Awesome. And can I have a second question here? It may seem kind of broad and vague, but
it's all right.
I don't know. I just want to know your opinion. I think that, in my viewpoint, ever since COVID, which, you know, the beginning of 2020,
mm-hmm.
I think for me, I think I just sense a spiritual or social change throughout our whole society. And personally, obviously, there's a lot of things leading up to that, but I just think that I can really tell a noticeable difference since COVID in 2020. I just feel like there's been a change in our society, and just, I don't know, I can just sense it. I don't know what your viewpoint is on that. I'm not trying to get political, but I can just tell a marked difference in our society as a whole.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I absolutely would agree with you. I see the movement of control. In socialism, they want control and power. And, you know, I was thinking this weekend about stuff. I'm just going to take a tangent off what you said. I would not be surprised at all if there's some sort of a national problem, a national emergency, or some real big event that occurs pretty soon before the November elections, when it looks like the Dems are going to lose power all over the place. That's what seems to be the reports. I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden there's a big problem. And, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen. The Constitution needs to be suspended, or we have to pass these quick laws. You know, whatever. I just wouldn't put it past them.
Right.
I don't trust the left. So is this kind of a thing realistic? But yeah, it is. And so I think that the COVID thing, in my opinion, and these are the kind of things that get me kicked off of the respective YouTube sites when I mentioned.
Right.
I mentioned COVID. Seriously, I mentioned COVID. I'm not allowed to mention it and say...
I believe you.
Oh, yeah, and I get banned. I have to create a new account and go in because this is the issue of control. When they don't want you to speak something because they call it misinformation, then they're the ones governing what you say. And they're using the lie of the safety of everybody else, which is why you can't object, you can't raise opinions that you don't believe. Like, I don't believe in the efficacy of the COVID vaccine as much as it's been taught, and I do believe it saves lives. I did a lot of research on it, a lot. I think it saves lives,
right.
And I think it helps people.
Yeah.
But I also believe that it's been misused greatly. And I think there's some serious problems there. I've got a lot of information I've done research on. So has it been used to control us? Absolutely. Wear the face mask. Social distancing. They're telling you when and how. They were telling you what to wear and where to stand in relationship to other people. Now, that is control. It is absolute control. Don't stand 6 feet away, or stand 6 feet or more. It's useless. Wear the a mask, even if it's a cloth mask, which is at best 2% effective for COVID. Seriously, those face masks that doctors wear, they're on average 50% effective to stopping the virus. And if you touch it with your right. hands, it's contaminated. You're supposed to get rid of it. N95s are pretty right. effective. They are. But as soon as you go to adjust them, you've touched the outside with your fingers, with your hands, and any latent virus that's on your hands gets transferred to that, and then you breathe out through it, you're spreading it. People don't. I did all kinds right. of research on this. Am I allowed to say this kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's no way. There's no. no way to stop it.
Yeah. What's that?
And, I agree. And so we both agree on this, but, in the end, like, I just feel like all this is led by the devil. I mean, I just feel like it's of a, Satan's spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know where all this is headed. We all know, according mm-hmm. to the word, where it's all headed, but I just feel like since 2020, it has all been sped up pretty rapidly.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
That's my I wanted to know if you can sense that as well as I can. So.
Well, let's just say that my awareness of things is a little bit different than most. I think my gifting, one of them, right. is to see where things lead. I understand what Mormonism does, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam. I understand Christian theology. I understand homosexuality as an example. What it will lead to, let's talk about that for a sec. What will it lead to? Let's just say the homosexual community is given free rein. What it will lead to is oppression. And the reason it will is because spiritually it's an affront to God. And they cannot produce in homosexuality, they cannot produce offspring. So they have to convert others to justify their own existence and the continuation of their philosophy by which they justify their own feelings in opposition to what's natural. So therefore, they will seek to gain power and influence not only over the adults and teach them what they should be saying, and in corporations that you have to go through sensitivity training to accept it. They also are now getting into control the children, and they want to control. Yeah. And so what happens with this kind of stuff is sexual perversions grow out of it, and it does.
Absolutely. Like a
frog in my throat. And so this is just how it's going. And when that happens, they're going to attack the Christians because we'll stand in opposition. Therefore, the Christians will be persecuted directly or indirectly. It's going to happen. Hold on, buddy. We got a break coming up. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. It's the bottom of the hour. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Dave. You still there, buddy?
Yes, sir. I am.
All right. Yeah, it's a fact. You got me thinking. And in cults, there are control markers. So, for example, in Mormonism, generally speaking, you have to wear a certain kind of clothing, a certain kind of attire when you go to church. With Jehovah's Witnesses, right. it's a similar kind of attire. I was actually involved with them so much, I could actually distinguish between them by the way they dressed for a while. Seriously, it may sound weird, but that and their behavior. And you're not allowed to do things outside of the scope of the religion and the rules of that religion. And you have to have what I call control markers. So for the Jehovah's Witnesses, generally not supposed to have beards. At least that's how it used to be. I haven't looked for a while. And mm-hmm. so if you had a beard, that meant you were new or you weren't really following the true organization. And you were supposed to go out and go door to door. You're supposed to do various things. And so they're control markers. The COVID stuff, the masks, I started considering them control markers about halfway through. So, at, you know, at first, no one knew anything. You know, we didn't know how bad it was, so I was wearing masks too, and that's fine. But after a while, I'm going, wait a minute. Now the statistics are coming in, and I went to the CDC website, and VAERS looked up. Where is that? It's VAERS. And I looked it up. I looked up their stuff. I started doing research. I'm going, wait a minute. Something's not right here. Started hearing other stuff that was coming out. And then I realized, wait a minute. I started doing research on the masks and realizing the cloth masks are basically useless. Seriously. You might as well not wear one.
Right.
And so why are you forced to wear things that aren't effective and they know are not effective? Then I started going, okay. Now it's something's up. It's a control marker.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, but my, so, and piggybacking on that, it's like, so COVID is still here and it still exists, but now all of a sudden, 2 years later, different administration, numbers, I mean, so around here in North Carolina, numbers are somewhat spiked. It's still, I think, the still comparable numbers. It may be down a little bit compared to when it first started, but you know, you don't hear, it's like, well, now they try to say COVID is non-existent, or not non-existent, but it's not played like it was when a different administration was in office. So I just find that very funny, very very strange, and I just think our society as a whole has changed, not only because of COVID. It's just I can sense it's just a spiritual change, and just the way, mm-hmm. I don't know, man, just the way everything operates, the way people mm-hmm. think, and so as general, that's just my opinion. I know it's a broad statement, but I just mm-hmm. feel like, you know, it can, I mean, people need to be looking up, so.
That's right.
Anyway, and I enjoy your show,
it
man.
Could be
long time.
It could be a conditioning to accept more social control. People get used to accepting control and being controlled. They're more accustomed to doing what the government tells them to do. And this is more and more a movement towards communism and heavy socialism.
So Marxist, what, I mean, mm-hmm. literally, Marxism. If anybody can sit there and which I rarely do, but I briefly listen to him on C-SPAN or something. I forget which group of body he was speaking to, but this president literally, there's no way this man is literally has control. And is,
no, he doesn't.
I mean, it's just so eerie. It's pathetic. And so I've never seen nothing. I'm 44. I've definitely never seen nothing like this in my lifetime. So. There's somebody behind the curtain running the real show, mm-hmm. and I'll just get off there with that, Matt. I appreciate you. Listen to your show, and God bless.
Well, God bless to you too, buddy. Man, I really appreciate you calling, all right? Okay.
All right, my friend. Thanks.
All right. Well, that was Dave from North Carolina. Let's get to Jose from Texas. Hey, Jose. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing today?
Oh, hanging in there. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Happy Father's Day, anyways. But anyways, hey, I have a quick question, Matt. Mm-hmm. Is there any? I know you mentioned a lot about the NARs, but is there any gift of prophecy for today?
Yes.
Maybe there is.
Yeah. You know, unless you're a cessationist. Uh-huh. Cessationists will say prophecy and speaking in tongues and all of that stuff is gone. I'm not a cessationist. I'm a continuationist. You go to 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So this is written to the Corinthian church, which is to everyone everywhere. It's a universal statement. And in 1 Corinthians 1:7, it says that you're not to lack any charismatic, while you're waiting for the return of Christ. So I have no problem at all with people prophesying. Now, are they prophets? That's different. Okay.
Okay, see, and that's the question I want to ask, because that's one of my, see, this was a debate going on in our church going on, which, you know, my dad is kind of like, my dad's a pastor, by the way, and he's trying to tell people, you know, congregation, there's somebody that just came out with that idea that there is prophets, and, you know, it's being confusing to the church, so the elders are trying to explain this away, so I'm So I kind of just help my dad a little bit. So I kind of give him, like, your website, by the way, helps a lot, too. So I you know, I recommend it in your website. So anyways.
Well, I'd be willing to talk to him. I'd be willing to talk to him and go through the scriptures about it, because I've done a lot of study on it. And the charismatic gifts are still for today. That's my position. I know there are people who disagree, and okay. But if these are done, then large portions of the New Testament are invalid. The thing here is that prophecy can occur, but we have to be careful and say there's a person with the gift of prophecy. It doesn't seem to be the case in Scripture. It's that God moves prophetically through people for the edification of the body of Christ. But in an NAR, there's supposed to be apostles and prophets for today who have the office of apostles and prophets. And I don't see that in Scripture. So it's always an issue of what does it say? Just because someone prophesies doesn't make them a prophet any more than, Gamaliel, I think it was, who was a Jew, the Jewish high priest. He prophesied. It doesn't mean he's a prophet. Right. So, you see, so that's why they got to be careful.
Right, and I think one of the objections or argument that this member of the church is bringing out is Philip's daughters, that they were prophets, and it says right there the word prophets. So he's saying, you know, see, look, in the New Testament, we see prophets. So that's the argument that the prophets are still for today. And
what's the argument? What's the argument? Where?
That I think Philip, the apostle Philip, I think one of his daughters were, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Philip, if I'm not mistaken, that they were prophets in the New Testament.
Well, it says in Acts 21:9, and this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses.
Right.
And they were saying, yeah, they're prophetess. A man named Agabus came down from Judea and stuff. Yeah. So does it mean that they're prophets? Yeah. That's one of the verses I'll be examining in context to see. And it says, as they were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now, here's the question we've got to ask, because this is part of the discussion. When we talk about apostolic gifts, we know that the apostles themselves had certain abilities that were because they were apostles. The 12 apostles in particular. There are 7 kinds of apostles in the New Testament. And some did miracles, some wrote scripture, some did not. There's false prophets, false apostles, and Jesus is even called an apostle. So one of the questions that just has to be raised at this point was Agabus and what they were doing inside the realm of the prophetic range of what the apostles themselves were doing, in the sense that was Agabus in that genre? We have to ask that, I believe so, but we have to look at it and see. And so when they came to Paul and they took his and they bound him, then okay, so there's prophecy. Now we could say that these women were prophetesses in the sense that they were being used by God to prophesy. And that's I don't have any problem with that. Does it mean it's for today? I think that could be used for that, but I think we need to examine other things and make sure that they aren't elevating themselves in an unbiblical way. It takes more examination. We got a break. So you want to hold on, buddy? Okay?
Sure.
Hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please give me a call, and we'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Last segment, Jose. Okay, back on here, buddy.
Yeah, man. So, back to the subject. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, back to the subject. Yeah, as I was mentioning, it's just a member that they're in love with Peter Wagner's ministry, yeah. And he's bringing in this whole idea of give, I'm sorry, prophets and apostles for today, and we're just not allowing it, and, you know, we just thought maybe if you can help us, give us more information about how to explain to him that prophets are not for today. New revelation. New revelation is not for today, because he wants to give next new revelation of extra revelation with the Bible says, but anyway.
Well, there are problems, and let's see. Does it happen? No, it doesn't right there. See, Peter Wagner, I have read a lot of his stuff, and in fact, you know, I wonder if I have some of my quotes, which I've not released on Karm yet. It just occurred to me. See if I can find some. I can find some stuff that he said, because I took a break from doing the NAR, and let's see, quotes, New Apostolic, Bill Hammond, New Apostolic Physics of Heaven. That's a, boy, that is a heresy book. Let's see. Yeah, let me open this thing up and see if I got anything in here by Wagner. Maybe I haven't. Yeah, that's right. There are 12 ministries that we can all expect of apostles. And he goes on and he lists them. He says, receive revelation, cast vision, birth, impart, build, govern, teach, send, finish, war, align generations, and equip. So he says that, and let's see, find the next one. In addition to what apostles do, there are 12 characteristics that are displayed by many. Seeing Jesus personally. And I could read a lot of other stuff from him. But, yeah, let's see, what else has he got? I'm trying to find some good stuff here. Okay, let's see. Apostles have authority. Yeah, I've got a lot of... Actually, I have released it. And so, I think I have, yeah. And, yeah, I'm going through. So, there are a lot of problems in the NAR. And, in fact, get this. He says, if a church has Jesus without apostles and prophets, it has no foundation from which to initiate solid building. Now, that's a false teaching.
Wow.
Yeah. Without apostles and prophets, you don't have the what you need. Yeah, you do. You have the scriptures. So it's, you know, just stuff like this that it sounds good, but you start examining it. You go, wait a minute. He says, recognition of the offices of apostles and prophets has become official in January 2004. He says, New Testament activity of apostles and prophets. So he's saying that. Now we are living in the midst of one of the most epical changes in the structure of the church that has ever been recorded. What? It's a super radical change in the church that's ever been recorded? That's not a good sign. You know, because it's okay the way it is. We just have to do what the Bible says. And then he says, I now believe that it is possible to live without sin one day at a time. Really? So you live without sin now. He said, there's over 400 apostles present today. And he says, since an individual is filled with the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit must be resident. Wow. Let's see. Go on here. Let's see. There's some other stuff I'm reading. I think that'll do it for now. I've read a lot of his material, and I've got it. I think I got that released. Yeah, I do. Quotes and topics from New Apostolic Reformation sources. And so there's that. But, you know, obviously there's problems there.
Oh, yeah, okay. For sure. That's
true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But people don't want to study. They want apostles and prophets for the day.
Right. It's just when it comes to, whenever it comes into your church, yeah, you got to be ready to be careful. It does happen, especially in Latin America. There's a lot of heresy going on in the Spanish-speaking world. So,
have you been to Mia Peak? Mia Peak?
Mia Peak?
Mia Peak Ministerio de Apologeticas y Cristianos?
No, I have not.
It's our Spanish version of CARM. And our guys in Barranquilla, Colombia, MIAPIC.
Okay, Mia Peak.
Okay. Mia Peak, and we have Carlos there. He does a lot of translating. He speaks really good English, and he's a great guy. And so we do have a lot of stuff And I'm not sure if we have the translations of the NAR stuff yet there. But he's a good resource. And, yeah, I do know it's really bad in Latin America. And my Spanish is, I'm about half fluent. I would be willing if they said, hey, look, man, we want you to go do a tour of South America and do some teaching and all this stuff. I would just buckle down in 2 months and become fluent and learn how to, you know, so I could go speak it. But I do know it's hugely problematic there. The Padre Confession, women pastors, NAR, sensationalism. Bad news. Yep. Bad news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's very bad. But anyways, I mean, it's all, you know, Jesus says that, you know, Jesus warns us. The thing is that the bad thing about this is that the church is not, you know, they're not condemning these things, or they're not talking about these things because they don't want to hurt anybody. That's our problem right now. So. We need to say how it is.
Right.
But anyways, Matt, appreciate it for calling, and I'll let the other speak, caller.
All right, brother.
Ask the question. All right, Matt. We'll talk later.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Hey, folks, we got two people waiting. Just want to, before I get to them, I just want to tell you, we stay on the air by your support. Please, would you consider, we don't ask very much. We don't need very much. Just enough. And if you'd consider going to carm.org/donate, we ask $5 a month. And that's, you know, a couple of cups of coffee, $5 a month. And if you could spare something like that, it really helps us, because the more we get, the more we're able to make budgets and support missionaries and things like that, like Carlos in Barranquilla. And so actually I'm trying to get our guy from Nigeria to call in. We're trying to arrange that. And he can tell everybody in Nigeria what's going on and how people are being killed around the Christians, what's happening. In fact, I got to work on that. And I'll be telling you what day he'll come on. We're going to arrange it, but I'll tell you, you hear the stories of what he's talking about. He's on the ground there, and he's Nigerian, and oh my goodness. So I'll be trying to get him on too. Let's get to Shirley from Ohio, whom we lost. Now let's get to Amber from San Antonio. Amber, welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you so much, Matt. It's a pleasure to speak with you. So I kind of have a question. I can see it in my mind, but I'm not sure how to pose it to the Jehovah's Witness that I'm interacting with, because when I kind of mentioned it to her, she was like, huh? Like, she didn't quite understand what I'm saying. So I was just calling to see if maybe you can help me kind of frame it a little bit better. But it's regarding, like, birthdays and holidays and how they don't like observing any of those days, because, like, they attribute those days linked to paganism. Well, it just popped up in my mind, right? They're like, every day of the week is attributed to paganism based on our, like, calendar, right? Is it like a Roman calendar, right, where, like, Monday is devoted to the moon god and Saturday would be, like, you know, devoted to Saturn? So what I was trying to get at is, like, if you could divorce yourself by not observing certain days because they're linked with paganism, but then our weekday and our calendar day, and you observe all of those days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like, how do you divorce yourself from the whole of paganism? But she was like, huh, I just don't see it. I know that believers have the freedom based on numerous passages of scripture, like Romans 14, like, if you want to observe one day, you observe that day to the Lord. If you decide not to, you do that to the Lord. But it's God who's able to make that stand. That's what I try to communicate.
So what's your question then?
I guess how could I get her to see that every day of our calendar is paganism, and she can't just accuse Christians of, like, I don't know. Does that make sense, any?
Yeah, the word Saturday comes from Saturn, you know, the planet Saturn, and Saturnalia. It's a pagan festival, pagan time. And so that's, you know, there's, you can go through and look at other issues like that. But I'm trying to remember something, trying to find something. There are, trying to find it, maybe I have it someplace. I don't have it on Carm. There are pictures inside of the Watchtower and Awake magazines that are occultic. And I mean weird stuff woven and coded into their pictures inside their Watchtower magazines. And, you know, sometime if I get more time, I can do a an expose on that. But you can look it up, and you can show, once you find them on the web, they're out there. I was trying to find it now, but I couldn't. Uh-huh. But once you see it, oh my goodness. It's like, are you for real? And these things are in the Jehovah's Witness literature. And you could show that person these pictures. And maybe Charlie will find it before I do. Jehovah's Witnesses or stuff, J-Dubs, pictures. There's some stuff out there like that. Anyway, there are pictures. I'm trying to find it. I'm really trying to find it, but I can't.
Okay.
I've seen them. And I've got a book someplace that has them. I just need to verify and various things. It takes some work to find them because other people have done the work. And then if I could find them on the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society and or document it somehow, I could produce something and say, go here and you can see the pagan stuff. Like in the palm of one of the figures is an eye. Things like this, you know. And in the folds of the clothing are certain symbols that are symbolized, and they mean occult things, and they appear in multiple clothing things through different pictures. There are people who know this stuff, and they've studied it. It's there, so you can find that. It'll really shake that person up big time. I just don't know where it is.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
I'm looking.
But did you see what I was saying? Did you see what I was saying about the days?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I totally with you. Because, you know, if they're going to say, do they take Saturday and Sunday off on their holidays because Saturnalia?
Right.
Well, are they celebrating that? Do they, if Christmas comes around, do they take any time off from work? Are they celebrating the Christmas vacation? Why? I guess they're hypocrites.
Right.
So just ask them the basic questions. Are you doing this? And see what they say.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bad news. Yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses is a non-Christian cult, brainwashing cult. And I just talked, literally, I went to a store yesterday, and some guy walks up to me and goes, hey, are you the guy on YouTube? And, so we got talking. And he said that he was an ex-Jehovah's Witness, and he lost his family because of it. And his wife lost her family. Just gone. They would have nothing to do with them anymore because they left Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah.
Wow, that's awful.
Well, yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the help.
Okay, no problem at all. Okay. Well, may the Lord bless you. Oh, there's the music. Perfect timing. All right.
Okay,
well, God bless, Amber. Okay. Hey, folks, there you go. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We're back on air tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. I hope you have a great week or a great evening. So God bless everybody. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.